He stole my thunder. I was going to surprise y'all with a little hip-hop, but since he stole my thunder, I can't surprise you. You know, one of the things that the Hebrew nation does to help people to focus their attention is they get us to repeat after what they say. So you're going to have to repeat what I say so that I know you have focused attention, because focused attention keeps you centered so that the enemy can't distract you from hearing what he wants you to hear. Because how many of you know you can't keep the devil out of the four walls of the church? He's not going to not be here. You know how he gets to you? Through your mind.
That's right.
He distracts you through the way you think. What am I going to eat today for lunch? Is this the stove? Did I turn the stove off? Did I feed the dog? He does that to help you be distracted so that you won't hear the word of God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to distract the enemy who is trying to distract you. So I'm going to help him be gone by giving you a little Christian hip-hop. Can I do that for you? Is all right? See, sometimes within this life, you see, the road gets rough. The principalities and powers are what make it tough. I can't depend upon myself, nor can depend on luck. I must depend upon the spirit of G-O-D. The word of God is true, and it will never pass away. I need to read to eat to feed my spirit every day. Without it, I go hungry in my soul, and I moan. But with it, I can fire like Jeremiah in my bones. So I take the time to meditate, to keep my spirit fresh. My flesh says no, my spirit says go. You already attention, right? I got you, right? You're already there. So what I want you to do, I want you to say, I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Say it real loud. You know, you got to say it loud. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
I am a joint heir with Christ.
I am a joint heir with Christ.
Do you know what that means? If you don't, you're going to find. Ooh, I'm going to just tease y'all this morning so you can come back tonight. I'm just going to tease you so you have to come back so you can understand what that means. But before I get into my lesson today, what I want to do is I want to share with you our life story, how we got to where we are, because she and I have not always been this beautiful couple that you see today. We walked according to the flesh and not according to the spirit. And when we do that, the Bible says, when you walk according to the flesh, it leads to death. So even as believers in Jesus Christ, we can walk according to the flesh and not according to the spirit. When you walk according to the spirit, the Bible says there's life and peace. But when you walk according to the flesh, there is death. And for some years, I walked in death with my wife. And for years, she did the same thing with me. So I'm going to give her an opportunity to share a little bit about her story, and then I will combine her and share how our stories kind of clashed, so that you can hear how God's spirit set us free.
Amen.
Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Can y'all hear me? Is it on?
All right.
Is it on?
Let's just check.
Okay, because, you know.
Oh, you're good.
Okay,
you're
awesome. Good. Thank y'all for having us. And I mean that when I say family.
Yes.
Because we are family. You're just meeting another sister and another brother, because there's only one body of Christ.
Yes.
So we're all in this together. I just want to share briefly that, as Pastor was saying, the signs that he have out front, that you can know God and not be free, that was my story. I was raised, my parents were divorced when I was 3 years old. I was raised in Los Angeles in South Central. Some of you may be familiar with that area, but it's a very hard neighborhood. And I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't come to know the Lord until I was pregnant with my second child out of wedlock. And I came to know the Lord, heard a clear presentation of the gospel, gave my life to the Lord, and then continued to walk in shame and guilt and fear and didn't have a clue who I was. Then I met Daryl Fitzgerald, got married, and now I'm no longer living this life in this ungodly relationship. I'm in a godly relationship, but yet there's still such a lack of peace, a lack of hope, and our worlds were colliding with each other because I hadn't settled on the inside who I was in Christ. So my husband, having his own things that he was walking through, we were just like, oh my gosh, did we do the wrong thing by getting married? Because we are struggling in this marriage. And we have these two kids, and this is just difficult. Then someone invited us to go to what was then called Resolving Personal Conflicts Conference. And that's the Freedom in Christ that we work with today. We went there, and I heard clearly it wasn't Daryl that the trouble was. It was me. It was the poor choices that I had made in my life that I had not allowed myself to walk through, understanding that God said, Stephanie, you are justified. Stephanie, you have been made whole. Stephanie, you are forgiven. So it wasn't until I walked through the freedom process, and guys, I tell you, it's for everybody. It's not that you made choices like me and you had a janky decisions and stuff that I did. You may not have made those kind of choices. You may not have had children out of wedlock, but guess what? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when you walk through the Freedom in Christ message, it just tells you how much God loves you. It tells you how much he's already done for you, that you don't have to live a partial life in Christ. You can live the fullness of who you are in Jesus. So I didn't have to work on scrubbing this scarlet letter off of my chest. I didn't have to wonder who's going to think this about me or who's going to think, because I already know what my God says about me. I already know what the Lord teaches me every day about his child, that I have been made perfect in him. So I wasn't able to embrace the freedom and the truth of what God has for me. My husband was able to embrace the truth, and then we were able to get on the same page to walk in true freedom in Jesus Christ.
Amen. You can take that with you. Thank you. So we both came into the relationship not knowing who we were and not understanding the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, my background is I went to church. I went to a black church. And I went to a black church that was really traditional. You know, it was more about doing right than being right. If you do right and look the part on the outside, then you are right. That's the type of church that I came from. But in my home, my parents were fighting. Oh, by the way, my dad was the pastor. My parents were fighting. And when I say fighting, I mean fisticuffs fighting. It wasn't just a yelling match. It was shut the door, hear the rumbling, fear coming into my life, and then understanding that my mom would come out, my dad would come out, like everything was okay. And what was that about? So I have a background where I went to church all the days of my life. I learned church etiquette. I learned how to say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, but I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't find out who Jesus was until I went to school at age 19 years old at Liberty University. Now, on top of that, not only did I see my parents fighting, I also, from trying to find my own identity, I had my own secret sins. How many of you guys know about secrets? Don't raise your hand. How many of you guys know about secret sins? And my secret sins was, I am going to look the part, I'm going to look good, but I am also going to play the part of playboy. Y'all know what that is. Don't act like y'all been to church all your life. You know what that is. So I was very flirtatious. I wanted to do my own thing, but I wanted to look the part in the church as well. I'm not going to ask how many of you guys can do the same thing, because there are people in the church that can do that. So for me, I learned how to use my skills as a basketball player to my advantage for what I wanted to do. So being a basketball player, guess what you do? You get all the girls, you get all the accolades, and that's what happened to me. I thought I was the dude. Now, back up, 8 years old. One of the things that that in my home as a kid, as one of the black parents, what goes on in the house, finish that statement. That happened to us because, you know, you had to look the role as a pastor's kid. So when I was 8 years old, I got molested. I got molested by a close relative of mine. And that caused a lot of turmoil in my mind when it came to, what did I do wrong? Did I ask him to do that to me? Why did he do that to me? Why is this happening to me? And then on top of that, he said to me, if you tell anybody, I'm going to tell them that you told me to do this to you at 8 years old. So imagine me bringing that into a relationship with my life, with my wife years later and having not dealt with it. How much baggage that would be for a man who didn't know who he was, who was molested as a child, who's trying to find his identity through sex, bringing that into a relationship with my wife. How do you think that made our relationship? It was horrible. It was horrible. She had her things, and I had my things. And because we had those things in our relationships, guess what happened? It caused major contention and major clashing in our relationship as husband and wife. And so when we went to this conference, I thought we were going to the conference specifically for her because she got the problem. She has the issues. She's unsubmissive. She won't listen to me. She won't do what's right, yada, yada, yada. When I got to the conference, I recognized I didn't go to the conference for her. I went to the conference for me because, by the way, guys, I'm sorry to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I hope you can take this. I didn't like white people. I didn't. You know why I didn't like white people? Because in Martinsville, Virginia, there's a lot of racial tension and activity down there. Oh, by the way, I grew up in Virginia, Martinsville, Virginia, which is about an hour and a half, 3 hours, 2 hours from here. So there was a lot of tension growing up in my community between blacks and whites, much like there is today, right? There's a lot of tension going on today. So I grew up in that type of environment. So I didn't want to hear another white man tell me about my problems as an African American because he would not understand what he's talking about with me. He could by no way understand my pain as an African American. So I reluctantly go to this conference, and when I go to this conference, guess what happens? This man starts bringing the word of God in a way that I'd never heard it before in my life. And then watch this. With all my racial tension and all my background of being, you know, hating white people, here's what happened. Hearing the word of God penetrated past my color barrier. He spoke directly to my spirit. So all my racial tension just faded to the background as this man, Neil T. Anderson, began to speak the word of God with clarity and with understanding. And when he did that, I began for the first time to understand who I was outside of my experiences as a man, outside of my experiences growing up in my environment, outside of my experiences growing up in my home. I began to understand who I was as a child of God. Now watch this. Get this. When I understood that I carried the same spiritual DNA as my heavenly father, man, I became Superman. I began to understand who I am. And that's really the key to wholeness and wellness in your life. So here's the question. Who are you? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Who are you? That's the question that you have to answer before you go to the grave. Now, here's the thing I want to see if you can answer this question. Are you a man or woman who has a spirit, or are you a spirit in a man or woman's body? Answer the question in your mind. Are you a man or woman who has a spirit, or are you a spirit in a man or woman's body? Well, here's what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. That is your and my body. Dust of the ground is your body. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The breath of life is your spirit. And then the Bible says, and man became a living soul. So there's three parts to your being, which is your spirit, your soul, and your body. Now, which one are you? Now, don't answer the question yet, but which one are you? Here's what the Bible says again. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you see, there are three parts, like in Genesis and like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. There are three parts to your being. What are the three parts? See, like, we got to say it a little louder. What are the three parts again?
Spirit, soul,
body. Now, notice what it didn't say. It did not say body, soul, and spirit. That's very key for you to understand. It does not say body, soul, and spirit, because if you think body first, you're going to think through the five senses of your being. It says spirit, soul, and body. Let me give you another scripture. Another scripture says this: for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow. Joints and marrow is a part of your what? Your body. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. So again, there are three parts to your being. What are the three parts again? Well, I sure heard somebody say soul first. I don't know who that was, but they said soul first. But what is it again? Spirit, soul, and body. You are made of three parts, three different parts: spirit, soul, and body. There are three distinct parts to your being that are created by God. Three distinct parts. And all three parts play a major role. And what are they again? Why is that important? That's important because you need to understand who you are. You need to understand where you live. And you need to understand how you function. I'm going to answer the question for you. You are a spirit that lives in a body that has a soul. Your soul is your psyche. Your soul is made of three parts. Your soul is made of three parts, which are your mind, your emotions, and your will. But you are a spirit. When you leave your body, the Bible says that you will be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, what is present with the Lord? If your body is on the earth, if you put your body in the earth in a casket 6 feet under, then where are you if you are present with the Lord? You are a spirit present with the Lord who is absent from the body when you and I finally leave this earth shell. The Bible calls this body a temple. It is a temple where the Spirit of God lives. Either Satan will dwell your temple or God will dwell your temple. Let me give you a really good point here. If you are not a child of God, if you are not a born-again believer, if you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, if you have not asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, let me give you a big hint. The Bible says that you are of your father, the devil, John chapter 8, verse 44, if you don't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Well, you say, well, I don't live bad. I don't do any bad things. Well, you don't have to do any bad things. You were born into this world a sinner. You were born into this world separated from God. You were born into this world not having a relationship with God, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And because you don't have a relationship with God, guess what that automatically gives you? A relationship with your father, the enemy, the devil. Now, how many of y'all, by the showing of your hands, want to have a relationship with Satan? Raise your hand real quick. Now, how many of you guys, by the showing of your hands, want to have a relationship with God? Raise your hand. The only way you get to have a relationship with God is through his son, Jesus Christ. It's not through black nationalism, which is a big thing right now with African Americans. It's not through Jehovah's Witness. It's not through any other cults. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to get to God the Father is through him. Oh, that's good news right there. Now, by the showing of your hands, how many of you want to die and go to hell? Let me see your hands. Come on, raise your hands. Raise your hands. That's showing your hands. Now, by the showing of your hands, how many of you, when you die, you want to go to heaven? You got all the right answers, right? You, everybody wants to go to heaven, but everybody doesn't want to do what God requires them to go, right? You have to obey the word of God concerning who you are as a child of God, because every one of us, by the knowing in your spirit, listen to this, by the knowing in your spirit, there is a knower on the inside of you that knows what's right and wrong. You just know. And the Holy Spirit is already convicting people right now, speaking to you right now, saying, you need to get right with me. You need to know who you are. You need to know why you are here. Why? Because it is very paramount before you and I leave this earth to understand the freedom that God brings into our lives. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So, all three function together as a unit. Your spirit, your soul, and your body, they function together as a unit and gives character and shows the unique qualities that make you special as a male or a female. Now, why do you think I put that male or that female in there? Because there's a lot of gender confusion happening today that are saying, you know, a man has a male gender, but he feels like a female. He feels like a female, so therefore he has to make the sex change to make him feel like who he is. That's not who he is. God made him to be male from the beginning. He created us male and female from the beginning. And if there is gender confusion, it's because the enemy is the author of confusion, and he is making you and I think that we're confused about who we are and how God created us, and that is not how God functions. I know it's not politically correct to talk about this stuff, but we don't get it right in here. Where can we get it right? Have to talk about this. Your spirit, your soul, and your body function together as one. Now let me tell you this. When the enemy comes against you and he starts to lie to you and he starts to tell you lies, then what happens is those lies go into your think tank. It go into your soul or into your mind. And when those lies go into your mind, for instance, for me, I was thinking, what is wrong with me when I got molested? What's my problem? And how the enemy used that. The enemy said to me, well, then you must be a homosexual. If he did this to you, you must be a homosexual. You must, and he said this to me, I remember this distinctly. He said to me, you must have given him a signal to think that you wanted him. So, oh, wow, so what does an 8-year-old do with that who's been ashamed and who's afraid to tell anything to his parents about what happened to him? How does an 8-year-old deal with that? He can't function that way. And so you know what I did? I took those lies and said, that's not who I am, so I'm going to go the total opposite way. I'm going to go do everything I possibly can to prove that I'm not this. Why? Because I didn't want to be labeled as gay. Or I didn't want to be labeled as whatever. Because the enemy had put thoughts in my mind and told me this is who I was. That's why it's really important, people, to understand who you are. Because when you understand who you are, you cannot be lied by the enemy anymore. Cannot be lied to by the enemy. So, because of that, what God does is he gives you an identity past, an identity that you grew up with. You have an identity that is from God. You have a gift that is from God that tells you who you are. You are a spirit that lives in a body that has a soul. God is a spirit, and because God is a spirit, you are made in his image and his likeness. And because God is a spirit and he created you in his image and his likeness, what does that make you? That makes you a spirit created in the image of God and his likeness. So you need to get your identity from him rather than getting your identity from all the things that the world tells you, all the experiences that you've gone through, all the things that people say you are. Those things don't really matter. What matters is what God says. Why does it matter that God says, or what he says, who you are? Why does it matter? Because what he says gives you purpose, It gives you hope. It gives you identity. It gives you life. It gives you peace. It gives you joy. When he tells you who you are, guess what that does? It settles you. It gives you peace. It gives you understanding. It gives you hope. It gives you life. It gives you everything that you're searching for in this world. And because it gives you everything you're searching for in this world, you don't need to go searching for it in the world anymore, because God makes it happen on the inside of you. As long as you, when you accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, he gives you a brand new life. If any man be in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When he saves you, the Bible says he saves you to the uttermost. He gives you everything that you're searching for. Everything that the enemy tries to tell you who you are, what he does, he washes it all away and says, you're my child. You belong to me. You are a joint heir with Christ. You are a child of God. You are a saint. I used to think a saint had to be this old person in the church sitting in the corner who was there for 50 years before he became a saint. But a saint is a person who accepts Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and then God gives them the Holy Spirit, and they, at that point of receiving the Spirit of God, become a saint. It's not something you get when you leave earth. It's something you get when you accept Christ as personal Lord and Savior. I am a brand new creation in Christ. Now, I knew I was not going to get through all this, and I did it on purpose. You know why I did it on purpose? Because I want you to come back tonight. I want you to come back tonight because I want to have a discussion with you to help you understand all the lies that the enemy is dealing with you about, to help you to understand the reality of who you are and what God can do for a person who gives his life to Christ, and a person who understands his identity in Christ, and a person who can walk in the fullness of Christ. That's what you need to understand, and it sounds like you guys are doing a good job here at this church with the pastor telling you about these Freedom Weekends. And if you haven't gone to a Freedom Weekend class, I would really encourage you to go through the class, because it will literally change your life, literally change your spiritual trajectory and your life as a child of God. So let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us life and life more abundantly, that you can teach us and show us how to be your sons and your daughters. We ask, God, that you will bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Can we say thank you?